And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrow the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. So Jesus goes into Jerusalem, and he goes to the temple, and he looks at everything. Looks at the whole scene. And evening comes, he goes to Bethany. The next day, they come from Bethany, he's hungry, and he sees a fig tree, and he goes up to it, just if happily, he might find some fruit. Now, it's funny, because, right, he knew where the colt was. Did he know whether or not there was any fruit on the fig tree? Again, God does things that appear ignorant for our sake. Just like when he says, Adam, where are you? Or just like when he says, Cain, what happened to your brother Abel? As if God didn't know. He even said he knew. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. He knew. And that, again, that's another thing said for the benefit of man. Because God knows all. It's the idea of God. That he knows everything. And that the world is under his power. And at the same time, subject to other powers that he put it in subjection to. And that's why people talk about the devil and Satan and being the prince of this world. Because God, as Lord over the earth, has delegated the authority of much of the earth to the devil, who does what the devil does. And though his nature is contrary to that of God, yet it is God's will that he do what he does. For the ultimate purposes of God, which are bringing many sons to glory. The issue of the fig tree in this passage is very simply an analogy of what he's seeing in the temple. And what he's seeing of Israel, of the Jews. No fruit. It's not the time to expect fruit. But he looks for fruit anyways. Same thing with Israel. It was not time that they should receive the Messiah. But he looks that they might receive him anyways. If they had received Christ, he would have done for them all that was promised. And if the fig tree had fruit on it, he wouldn't have cursed it. And the thing is, Israel is also under a curse. The nation of the Jews is cursed. It doesn't mean man ought to do evil to them. Remember, Cain was also under a curse, and I'm not drawing any comparison as those who say that the Jews are the children of the devil and Cain, so on and so forth. But Cain was under a curse. And what did God say about him? Whoever kills him will be punished sevenfold. And like I said, I only used recourse to Cain because of he was another example of a cursed individual. And when he cursed it, what did he say? No man eat fruit on you hereafter forever. And that is really the curse of them. But the Jews have never bared fruit to God in all the time since the time of Christ. As far as a nation, there was no fruit that they could bring to God. No man get fruit out of you forever. He came to them looking for fruit. There's a lot of analogies in the Old Testament. You think of like Isaiah 5. You know, he planted a vine and he looked that it would bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. And Israel is his pleasant plant. You know, he planted Israel as a pleasant plant to bring him forth good fruits. And they didn't bring him forth good fruits. And this is the final casting away of that system. And you know, and the Jews, I know of course, if they were to hear this, they'd be extremely offended at all my words. But I tell you, you know, you talk about the suffering of your nation. What about the suffering of my nation? What about the suffering of our nations? The nations of the Gentiles, who suffered long without God and alone in the world, in ignorance, without revelation, with any hope that God left them in darkness. And you had the light. And you've had it so long. And the fruitless system of a nation called of God has been cast away. They have a great sense of their own identity. And God has blessed their nation. But as Paul said, it was chiefly in that the oracles of God were committed unto them. But the gospel has not been committed to that nation. Except for the Jews who receive the gospel and to whom it has been committed. Of course, because remember, everyone in the New Testament and all these gospels, all the disciples of Jesus, of course, are Jews. I'm just saying, but the nation. Should I think of myself as special because I'm from some particular nation? Do you know what happened? That whole mentality is what led to Nazism, which a portion of my family was certainly involved on nearly every side of the conflict. It's that national pride and that sense of we're the best and so on and so forth of a nation. As if by being born in a particular group of people, you are better, more suitable. You mistake even the reasons God chose anybody to begin with. He chose Israel not because they were greater than any other nation or that they were better people. Because he was merciful on them. Because he made a promise to Abraham. That's why he chose them. And so also the Gentiles and people who believe in Christ, they ought not get this same mentality of we are a nation chosen of God. Our children are automatically blessed of God. We stand by the grace of God. We stand by his grace. All that keeps us from being like the rest of the heathen. So don't be foolish. Don't boast against the branches, as Paul said. Don't boast up against the branches. We are like a wild fig tree grafted in with a domestic fig tree. And don't boast against the original branches that were cut off that you may be brought in, because you could be cut off and they be brought back in. They'll come in very easily. And so Jews fit very easily into the Christian mold. But this was the thing of their time. This is what God ordained. God ordained Israel to reject the Messiah. And even though they loved not the truth, if they had known the truth, they would not have done it. That's why he hides the wisdom from them. And he looks at the temple. He goes in there and he throws out the people that buy and sell in the temple. There's all kinds of commerce going on.